So we are in Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're nearing the end. We're at the end of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 9, and let's read these last two verses of the chapter, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart." So I want to think this today about the distinguishing factor, the inside, the distinguishing factor. What matters to God is the inside, what's on the inside. And he says here in verse number 25, "I'm going to punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised." In other words, I'm going to punish them all together, whether they're circumcised or uncircumcised. God is saying that didn't matter. That isn't what mattered. That isn't what made a distinction. It wasn't a distinguishing factor in their relationship with God, in their standing with God, as concerning their sin and his judgment upon their sin. And so the distinguishing factor, though, what was on the inside. He says the last word of verse number 26 is the key word to these verses, and very much a key word to the book of Jeremiah, and that is the heart. God is always concerned about the heart. And so as we look at this passage today, we're going to consider, first of all, we're going to consider this truth of God, the fact that this is the distinguishing factor in our lives as God's people. And that distinguishing factor is one of on the inside. God's looking on the inside, and we're always looking on the outside. We look at outward evidence. We look at what's happening in a person's life, and we look, when we're looking at ourselves, oftentimes we're not necessarily looking on the inside. We're looking at what we're doing. We're looking at what we're saying. We're considering those things, and God is always looking upon the heart. And so we find that the children of Israel had the problem, or the nation of Israel at this time, and Judah had the problem of being focused more upon external things. And so, and therefore, verse 25 and 26 of Jeremiah chapter 9 says something to us. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'm going to punish. I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised." So they're focused on circumcision. They're focused on external rites of religion, and maybe even works, but they're not focused on the heart and their affection and their love and their joy and their peace as it pertains to trusting God and being and walking with Him and living for Him. And so we'll think about that a little bit today. We'll consider this truth. We're going to listen to Jeremiah, not only here, but in a few other places here in the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to listen to Jesus as he speaks on this subject. We're going to listen to Paul as he speaks on this subject. And finally, we're going to look at this specific text and kind of come to a concluding thought here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further today. Oh, we ask your blessings, and we desire, Lord, your will to be done in each of our lives. We pray that you bless the time that we spend here, that it might be a refreshing time. It might be a time, Lord, when we can be encouraged in our walk with you, and a time in which we can realize and always be reminded, Lord, of how much that we depend upon you, and that we fundamentally are not a people who are independent, but a people who are completely dependent upon your work and your will, your purposes, your grace in our lives. And we ask your blessings now that through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, that we might each of us be at peace with you, and that, Lord, that you might bless us, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth as we look to the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in Jeremiah chapter 9, we're in the ninth chapter, we get down to these last couple of verses, and once again, the Lord, through Jeremiah, kind of pauses and looks out into the future. He kind of makes a stop here, and he's, after talking about the condition of Judah and of Israel, Jeremiah's been going through that and talking about how important it is that they would be walking with the Lord at this time when they're not. And of course, the Lord told Jeremiah, hey, you preach to these people and they're not going to listen to you. It's just going to happen. They're not going to hear you. And everything you say to them, I want you to say to them, I'm going to give you the words to speak, but they're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen to you. And so kind of a pretty difficult task that he had. But we find, though, that God would interject at times encouraging words both to Jeremiah and encouraging words to us as we think about how he was dealing with his people of old. And we consider the truth today that God's looking on the inside. Man looks on the outside. Man's concerned with the outside, the outward appearance of things. We're so concerned about what other people think. We're so concerned about what things look like. We're so concerned, oftentimes, as God's people, about the external things of doing the things that we're supposed to do as God's people, as opposed to being the people that God wants us to be. You know, there's a big distinction between the doing and the being. There's a distinction between being someone who belongs to God, who God loves us tremendously. He loves us unconditionally as his people. And we as his people can trust him. We can walk through this life with a confidence and a joy in the Lord for his great grace and mercy and love toward us and what he's done for us at Calvary through Christ, who's sending his own son to make himself a ransom for us and to suffer for us that we wouldn't suffer. Well, oftentimes we take to ourselves the task of being a Christian. We take to ourselves the task of walking with God. You know what? You can't do it. And I can't do it. We need God's help. We need to know who we are as opposed to what we are supposed to do. And I don't mean by that, I don't want to understate the fact that the Word of God does tell us what we are supposed to do too. But the emphasis in the Word of God is in realizing that we can't do it without the help of God. And fundamentally, we need God. We need his help. So man, he's looking on the outward appearance. And 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7, we see that. 1 Samuel saying it. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7, what's he say there? He says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Talking about the decision as to who was going to be the next king. And of course, the next king was going to be, it was the Lord's will that it be David. But he says, he's choosing which one of the sons of Jesse and such as this. And he says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He says, you're looking at the wrong things. You're looking at what his ability is going to be, how he's going to be viewed by other people. You're concerned about external things. And he says, that's not what I'm concerned about. He said, I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God looks on the heart. God is concerned. And you know what? The heart is something that is in God's hands too. The Word of God tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Even the highest of power, as far as this world is concerned, men of power, men of the greatest power. So he says the king. The heart, even of the king, The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. In other words, God controls the heart. God's in control of the heart. He said, why do I love who I love, hate who I hate? And it's like, I don't know, it's something deep down. Sometimes it's just something really deep down that I'm just understanding, coming to understand that I love this person or that I don't like this person or something like that. And oftentimes it's what's within us. And God is working on what's within us. God is working on the inside, and he's concerned with the inside of our lives. And so we look here at this passage in Jeremiah, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to punish the circumcised with the uncircumcised. Doesn't matter whether they're circumcised or uncircumcised. He said, I'm going to take the punishment that's going to come now, at that time, not too far along in history behind what Jeremiah is saying here. Egypt, Babylonian captivity is on its way. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the uttermost court. What did he just say? Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab. He's mixing up the children of Israel with the Gentiles. He's mixing the Jews and the Gentiles together here in this statement. He's saying, you know what? The punishment that's coming, the judgment that's coming, is going to be a judgment of all nations. It's not going to be a judgment of just a few. And I'm not going to avoid, as the judgment would come, I'm not going to avoid Judah. It's going to come on Judah too. And he says, for all these nations, he says, all these are uncircumcised. Okay, they're Gentile nations that have rejected God. And all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. These are people that they might be externally circumcised, but they're uncircumcised in the heart, God says to Jeremiah. So we think about that truth. Man looks at and is concerned with the outside, God with the inside. Listen to a couple other passages in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 4. And think about what Jeremiah also has said here. He says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Okay, what does he mean by that? Well, he's not talking about, I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a heads up here. He's not talking about external circumcision here. He says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. He says, your doings proceed from your heart. They come from your heart. And your heart has to be right first. In chapter 11 and verse number 20 of Jeremiah, moving a little further than where we're at right now. But O Lord of hosts, that judgeth righteously, that triest the reins and the hearts, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. And let me just see where am I at. 11 and verse number 20. His judgment was going to come there, and I don't see the passage. I don't see what I'm looking for. Chapter 17 and verse 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God tries the heart. God is looking on the heart. He is far less concerned about just looking at the external things. Now, that doesn't mean that external things are not an indicator of what's in the heart. But the fact is, that's how it flows. And oftentimes, we can put together all kinds of external things, and we're not right in our heart before God. In chapter 24 of Jeremiah, verse number 7, it says there, and I will give them an heart to know me. In other words, the time would come in which that God is going to deal with Judah and with Israel. He's going to restore them under Hezekiah. He's going to cause that there's a huge revival that would take place after the Babylonian captivity. And he is going to cause that there is tremendous joy and blessing in the land. And the way he's going to do that is he's going to work on their heart. He's going to work on their heart. You know what? You can be people who have been very healthy in a lot of different ways. They can have their digestive system just perfect, just functioning. Anybody remember Ewell Gibbons? they have their digestive system working perfectly. They can have their lungs working perfectly. Everything going great. And have a heart attack and die, right? Because there's something about the absolute necessity of having that blood flowing and having it flowing through to the brain and different parts of the body. And so it's absolutely essential, the emphasis in the Word of God upon the heart being the central thing, and everything else is, you know what, it doesn't matter that much if I'm healthy in all different other kind of ways, external ways, if internally that I'm not, if I'm not healthy, I'm not right. Chapter 24 and verse number 7 here says, I'll give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. God can touch, God can affect our heart. In chapter 30 and verse 21, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 21 says, and the nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. This is Jeremiah speaking again. And I will cause him to draw near. He's quoting God. I'll cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engageth his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. He says, hey, who can engage his heart to approach God? That's not something that just happens. It's something that God initiates, God can bring about. In chapter 32 and verse number 40, chapter 32 and verse 40, he says there, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. And back in chapter 31 and verse number 33, he said there, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Something's got to happen on the heart. God's making it pretty clear through Jeremiah. If we listen to Jeremiah, Jeremiah's saying that what matters to God is your heart. What matters to God is where your heart is, and is your heart in tune with God, and is your heart moving you to please the Lord and do his will? Or is your heart against God? A lot of people's heart is against God, and they want to do a bunch of external religious things just to hide their heart, just to hide the fact that their heart's against God. They want to do a lot of things, and really they don't love God, don't care about, really they don't adore God, they don't worship God with their heart. It's all external, and they just, out of fear of condemnation, they look for ways to make themselves look better, and they look for ways to judge others so that they can compare themselves with other people. They can say, I'm just as good as you are, you know, because all they're doing is looking on the outward appearance. All they're doing is looking on the outside, looking on those things. What did Jesus say? Jesus, he had a very emphatic plea to the Pharisees, didn't he? He said in Matthew chapter 23, he's speaking there, and he says, you're a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, he made it real clear that these folk were people who were more concerned about outside things than they were about inside things. More concerned about the outside. Matthew 23, verse 23, Scripture says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone." All you're concerned about is just a little external religious stuff. And he says, you're not concerned about the internal matters. And Jesus says in verse 24, "You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. In other words, they're all concerned about the very small things, unimportant things, but they're not concerned at all about the big things. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess." What matters when it comes to drinking a cup of coffee? You know what? There might be a little something stuck to the outside of the cup, but what really matters? What matters is the inside. Make sure it's clean. Make sure that thing's clean. Now, I don't want the whole thing to be clean, but the truth of the matter is, it's the inside that really does matter and make a difference. He said, "Hey, you're on the outside. You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess." In other words, sin. It says you're not, and they're internally, ways in which to cheat, ways in which to exceed. Extortion and excess is cheating, and excess is going beyond what is right, what is proper. He says, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." But he says, first thing to do is clean the inside. In Luke, Jesus speaks, and he speaks the same way, but he says one other little thing there. In Luke chapter 11, in verses 39 and 40, Luke 11, verse 39, what's he say there? He says, "The Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part." So he's making it clear that he's talking about their heart, not just about platters and cups. "But your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also?" God is in control of within too. And God looks within. And he made it all, and we're responsible for all of it. And so God is concerned about our heart. And, you know, if your heart's not right, then all the external things don't matter. If your heart is right, the external things will flow the way God wants them to flow. And as God's people, it's very important that we focus upon the heart, that we are right with God, that we're, when it concerns us as far as how we're doing, how am I doing? How are you doing today? Boy, I tell you what, in heart, I'm doing pretty good. God is blessing me tremendously. He has given to me things that I certainly don't deserve. He's given me abundantly far more than I could ever expect from him, that I could ever anticipate. He has provided for me peace that the world cannot give to me. No way in this world. He has given me joy that I cannot get from this world. He has given me a sense of belonging, a sense of being belonging to someone that no one else can give in this world. He's given me things that as his people, as one of his children, he's given me a relationship with him that is the most amazing thing that there is. He's given me promises and promises and promises that make me, as a child of God, just have to wilt under his grace and under his mercy and say, "I don't deserve any of this. But what a wonderful thing that he's working everything in this life together for my good." How is it possible? As a child of God, he has given me, he is providing for me all these things. And so listening to Jesus here, he says, hey, Be focused on the heart. Be focused on the inside. Listen to Paul, too. Paul, here, his practical application of this truth in Romans 2 through 4, he spoke about circumcision. And he's speaking about circumcision, and he talks about how that there's a circumcision that is the heart, and these folk were all wrapped up in the externals. The Jews were all wrapped up in the externals, and that did not matter. There were many in the New Testament days that were preaching circumcision instead of preaching Christ. Many people were preaching and were declaring how important that circumcision was, and that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised and such as this, and for religious purposes to be right with God. And the Lord, through Paul and others, put that to rest. But in Romans, from chapter 2 through chapter 4, we find over and over again this statement, the fact that this circumcision is of no avail whatsoever as it pertains to our relationship with God. In Galatians chapter, and I just point out chapters 2 through 4 of Romans, but Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, look over there. I want to read a few verses here. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Where's love come from? It's internal, isn't it? Comes from the heart. Comes from within. God is the one. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We love one another for the same reason. We love one another because we're His children, and we know He loves His children. We know that His will is that we love one another. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." So He says, no, it's faith which worketh by love. Faith is internal. Faith is something you don't have without God's disposition of it. Without saving faith is not something that everybody has. Not everybody believes on the Lord, but saving faith is something that God gives. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In Colossians chapter 2, 11 to 14, Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11 to 14, the scripture says, "In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." Here's the circumcision Paul's emphasizing. It says, "You're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." He's saying there's a circumcision that's an internal circumcision. It has nothing to do with the flesh. It has nothing to do with the body in the sense of the physical human body, but it has to do with putting off of sin and putting off of the judgment of God. Then going on down, he says in verse number 12, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through faith, the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way." There's the circumcision he's talking about. "Took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." He took the sin, and he took the results and the outcome of sin, the guilt from sin. He took that completely out of the way. And we find there's a kind of a circumcision the Apostle Paul speaks about that is a spiritual circumcision, a circumcision inward of the heart. And then consider here the message of our text. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 9 and look again at verses 25 and 26. So Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25, pretty simple message that's given us here. Verse 25 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised." Punishment coming regardless of outward religion and works. You know what? That's true today. It's just as true today as it was then. God's wrath is going to fall upon sin and upon sinners. And it's going to fall regardless of outward religion and works. It's going to fall upon sinners that have all kinds of outward religion and works. They may be claim to be Christians even, and they've got all kinds of outward stuff and works, but they have never come to a real, a true, a genuine realization of their absolute dependence upon God to save them through Jesus Christ and through his complete and saving sacrifice at the cross. And so punishment is coming regardless of the outward religion and outward works, as verse 25 is saying. Circumcised with the uncircumcised, I'm going to punish them. And then secondly, verse number 26, judgment is on the basis of what's inside. Judgment is on the basis of what's inside. Verse 26 says, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that dwell or that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. He says they're all going to be treated together, because what matters is what's on the inside. Judgment on the basis of what's inside. Verse number 26. And so, concluding thought, just thinking here just for a minute. The inside is what's important. But you know what? The inside is what you have the least control of. You can do all kinds of things as far as your outside is concerned. People can change their actions, they can change the way that they say certain things, they can change their speech, they can get real religious, really. They can go get baptized, they can become a member of a church, they can do all kinds of external things. But the fact of the matter is that what's on the inside is what's important, and that's the thing that you have the least control of. That's the thing that you've got the least control of. What you desire, what you purpose, what you love is the thing that you have the least control of. And in fact, the Word of God tells us that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, and who can even know it? Who can know it? And so it's something that you certainly can't control it if you can't even know it, if you can't even understand or perceive it. And in fact, the Word of God tells us that our heart is, that we are depraved, that we're sinfully depraved, that we have only inability to change ourselves and change who we are. And therefore, God is the one who has to do a change to our heart, to the inside. God is the one that has to change the inside. That means for an unbeliever, that's true. For an unbeliever, God's got to change the inside. And the only hope that anybody has is not to try to do better works and try to live better and try to reform the inside or try to reform by yourself based on changing the external things and what other people see about you. But rather, the only hope you have is for God to change your heart. The only hope a person has is for God to truly do a work within them. And God does that work. And any sinner who humbly comes to God by faith in Jesus Christ and comes to see, be merciful to me, I don't deserve anything but your wrath and your judgment, but I see in Jesus Christ an answer to your wrath. I see in Christ your love being demonstrated. I see in Christ a sacrifice that's acceptable to God that I can cling to, that I can hold on to, that I can in my heart trust in. And anybody that ever comes to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have a changed heart. God has changed their heart. He has given to them a totally new condition, a totally new nature, in which that they now are those people who, if they lean in upon the Lord as they're walking by faith, that they can do what God would have them to do, and they can live for the Lord. But you either love God or you don't. Those who do, do so only by his grace. And so, how's our heart? Then those who do, how do we walk? Well, it's all to be based on the inside. It's inside out is how God wants us to walk. How he wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live our lives confident and trusting in him day by day, every moment. Not figuring it all out. Not looking way out in the future and saying, knowing the plan. God didn't, he has never promised everybody he's going to give you the full plan of your life. Here's the plan, you know, for how your life is going to turn out. He never promised that to anybody. But for the child of God, he's promised us that he will take care of us, that he will meet our needs. He will provide for us through whatever trials that he wants to take us through, and that he'll give us the grace to endure them, and we can do so joyfully. He's promised us, though, he's given us those promises. We can be a people who rejoice in the Lord in all things, rejoice in the Lord even in the most difficult times, the most difficult trials in our lives. We are to be a people who, though there's sorrow, there's all kinds of difficulties and trials. We all experience them. We experience losses and we experience things like this. But even through those things, the Lord can sustain us with his joy and with his grace, and life is not over. So as we look to the passage of scripture before us here, the distinguishing factor that the word of God says here is so important is the heart. What's on the inside? How's your heart? You say, I don't find it within me to be able to do certain things. And, you know, when we were growing up as children of God, when we were first born and we came to know the Lord, there were all kinds of things where, like, those things are insurmountable. I see other Christians doing this and doing the will of the Lord and concerning things, and they're like, how am I going to ever do those things? And we think, there's just no way. And we come to realize that by faith, by trusting in the Lord, that the Lord will grow us and that those external things will come. Trust the Lord. Depend on him. Do what you know you can do. This is all you can do, right? I mean, all you can do is what you can do. And God expects of us that our hearts are right with him, and then he will provide. He'll meet our needs. He will care for us. He loves us so much, far more than we can possibly know. The scriptures tell us that about his love for us. It's deeper than the deepest ocean. It's higher than the highest mountain. It is wider than the widest sea. His love is incomparable. It's unsearchable, the scriptures tell us. And when he's talking about his care for us, an individual, for me, his care for me is so wonderful, is so great. And as a child of God, he says, trust me with your heart. Just trust me. On the inside, depend on me. Lean on me. And let me take care of the rest. And I believe he will. I believe he is good to his people and he cares for us. He doesn't promise us that he's going to take all our trials and all our difficulties and all our weaknesses away. But he does promise he'll give us grace through them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, and pray that you'd help us, Lord, to lean upon you. Help us, Lord, not to focus on the externals, but focus on the internal. Focus, Lord, as you focus, as you look upon our heart, that we would be right with you, and that you would desire, or that we would desire, that your will would be done in our lives. And Lord, whatever that is, we pray that you'd help us to rejoice in it. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail you, and lead us. Bless, Lord, bless us as we have difficulties, as we have hardships in this life. And we just pray that you might restore and strengthen us. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray for good health. We pray for strength. We pray for your discernment in everything in our lives, Lord. We look out into our life and we find such confusion and we find so many things, Lord, that that we would like to fix, that we would like to have corrected, but just we can't. We'd have to trust in you, and we just pray that you'd help us to just lean upon you. Help us, Lord, to pray as we ought. Help us, Lord, to be a people who are concerned about and care about others around us and not be too centered on ourselves. And we ask your blessings that you'd lead us and direct us, that all that's done here today might glorify your precious name. Pray that you'd bless your word today in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're dismissed.